A while ago, I came across this quote that was attributed to Martin Luther, who once said this. He says, "Even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree. Even if I knew tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree." And I appreciated that forward thinking and that unselfish sentiment behind that statement. And as I reflected on it, I wondered if I could take it one step further for myself. So I asked myself, even if I knew that tomorrow I would go to pieces or not be around for whatever reason, would I still plant a tree? What reason would I have to do it? You know, this is a time of year that many people look forward to collecting some of those things that they planted back in the spring. Things like tomatoes and cucumbers and artichokes and all that kind of like August product stuff. Of course, none of those things would be ready for harvest if the seeds hadn't been planted in advance. And so the question we ask ourselves is, are we willing to plant seeds with the hope that they will eventually bear fruit? Sometimes we plant things that we can enjoy within a season, and sometimes we plant things that we may not actually be around to savor or to enjoy. Are we willing to plant because we know that is what God wants us to do? And I've been challenged by that lately, wondering what it looks like to invest my life into my family, into my church community, into my relationships, whether I see the immediate results or not. Because no one is going to be around forever. It might be because we move away or because our life situation changes, or maybe even because we pass away. And I was thinking of some of those wonderful people in our church that we've lost over the past few years for some of these reasons. I thought of some of the stalwart seniors like, you know, Ann Whitmore, Cliff Bagg, John Snook. They're in retirement homes now, you know. And there's other seniors who can't make it out. I think of the Regeers. I thought of Lyman Henderson, Al Stevenson, who passed not that long ago. These people were pillars in our church, and we really feel their loss. And who can forget that this is the fifth anniversary of the tragic and shocking death of Garrett Lewis. Like, nobody knows what tomorrow will bring. Which all sort of got me thinking about, you know, what kind of church do we want to have in the next 6 months? What kind of church do we want to have over the next 5 years? What are we going to leave to the people who are here after us? You know, we have such a wonderful church community, and I really wish we could share it with everybody, with more people. And as much as it brings great joy to be part of this, it also brings with it the sense that there is so much more work to do, so much more investment and building and growing to do. We haven't even scratched the surface of fulfilling or reaching our potential. And when I think of the resources and labor, for instance, it took to develop this, you know, wide country of ours, to connect it all. Think of the immigrants that came with very little. They came from countries from all over the world. And the reason people gave to coming here is like, we want to make a better life for our kids. We want to make a better life for the next generation. They built the thousands of miles of roads and railways and downtown cores and the farms. For over two centuries, people have been laying the groundwork and developing this country. Some of those may not even have benefited from their own labor. But they constructed what they did in order that first they and then others might benefit. And many of us people sitting here today are the beneficiaries of the work of hardworking parents and grandparents and other people in our lives. A few years back, a film came out, I don't know if you remember it, called Summersby. And Jack Summersby, the lead character played by Richard Gere, went into this small community and assumed the life of someone who people thought was dead. And the townspeople in this agricultural community had really fallen on hard times, and they saw no way of making a better life for themselves. They didn't see a future for themselves. But this guy, Jack, embraced the community, and he says, "I have a vision for the future." He saw that their ground, this was like down in the south, was primed for growing tobacco, which was totally acceptable in those parts. And he tried to bring the community on board, and he tried to convince each person to buy and invest in some seeds. These people, to that point, were just scraping out a mere existence, working day to day with no real thought for the future. And that's all they could imagine for their kids too. More of the same. More of the same. And then someone thought about something bigger. Something that would offer greater worth and give them all greater ownership. But it was going to take each person digging a little deeper and taking a bigger risk. And I think it's nice to be part of a quaint and loving community. And I hope that what we do here is of value to all those who call Cornerstone their home. But what about us inspires others to be here? What about us makes us want to invest more in the future? And again, we are so grateful for those who have given and continue to offer their resources and time and ability and gifts. But it's going to take a lot more people getting involved and doing their part. So we ask, you know, what are we planting in our lives? What are we planting in our communities, in our families, in our church, from which people will benefit in the future? What can I put in place now that the next generation can build upon? Proverbs 13:22 says, a good person leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Not even just his children, but his children's children. Think far ahead. And what the writer is saying is that we shouldn't concentrate on what our present needs are only and live just for the moment, but to consider those who come after us. Because we've all seen the effects of greed. We all know what it's like when people just live for the moment. We've seen what it's done to the economy and even the environment. What kind of economy, what kind of debt are we going to leave our kids? What kind of environment are they going to inherit? And a little closer to home, what kind of spiritual community will they have to look forward to? We've made a commitment to our kids in this church. We've sort of enjoyed the amazing and sacrificial and joyful leadership of Sue and Bob Regeer. And more recently, Diana Loach has come on to add some support. But these people have a deep desire to see the kids and the family ministries grow. They've been so committed, and they continue to work to provide an environment where our kids can learn about Christ and come to faith. And we've taken some financial and other risks in that department, but we know that it's going to take a lot more. Because as we look to the future, we think of the kids whose lives are blessed by this ministry, but we want to see many more blessed by this ministry to help foster another generation of Christ followers. And I'm sure this isn't news to anyone, that we live in a time and a generation where more parents are getting their kids more involved in extracurricular activities and teaching them about faith in Christ. For some, teaching kids about the Lord isn't even on their radar. They've settled with other priorities. In fact, there are a lot of people today who actually resist teaching their children about faith. They think that it's kind of like a waste of time and even potentially intellectually stifling and confusing for their kids. And nothing could be further from the truth. Because society is constantly indoctrinating our kids every day, from JK to university, without a trace of God in the mix. So where are they going to establish a Christian worldview in their life? Where are they going to do it? The scriptures teach us that we, those who know and love God, are to sing and speak the mighty acts of God to our kids. So we as a church must make it our priority to do that. Not to let the next generation grow up without knowing God, because in history, at least the ancient believed that the church is always just one or two generations away from being extinct. It doesn't matter if you have kids of your own in this. You can be a part of it. And while I believe that Christ is in full control of the church and that nothing, not even the gates of hell, can hurt it, it's still been shocking to see all the churches that have had to shut their doors over the past few years. And they're turning them into condos. I don't know if you have the picture, but yeah, that's the church I grew up in. Now the condos you can pick up for $1.2 million. You know, it's a great building, actually. It's kind of nice. Churches that in the 50s and 60s were almost filled to capacity have dwindled to a handful of people. And today, for every church that opens up, two are closing down. But God still remains faithful. God always has some faithful people to keep the faith community growing. And the question is, are we part of those faithful? What are we giving the next generation when it comes to spiritual resources? So I just want to look at four areas in which planting seeds can have a profound effect. These four areas are leadership, stewardship, relationship, and ownership. Just keep those four in your mind. And these are things that we can apply to many areas in our lives, not just the church. But I want to look primarily at how it affects the body of Christ. So just let's look at these things from the perspective of the faith community. As I think about the future of the local church, I ask a few questions. Who is going to lead it? Who is going to lead the next generation? So we want to invest in training up leaders and identifying them who will know how to take the faith community forward with vision, with purpose, with love for God. And so from now, we want to model a kind of leadership that, you know, as we've spoken about in the past, will inspire people. Leadership that is courageous and authentic and has the best interests of the congregation at heart. That they're not in it for themselves. We have people who sit on our session who know what is required of our church. Legally, denominationally, administratively, they know how to get things accomplished. And they give great oversight to how this church operates. Then, of course, we have Catherine Angus, our church administrator, who does a great job in her role. Presently, we are in need of a great clerk of session, because I've worked with two great clerks, and we need another one. Ann Whitmore served as clerk for decades in this place. Steve Brown followed with several years of excellent service himself. Now, they've moved away, you know. And we're praying that God will provide the next person to serve in that position, to own it. Many of us grew up with an understanding of what it means to support the church. This is the area of stewardship. We have to teach and model the principle of giving to God's work through the local church. Some of us, you know, were brought up and we were taught to tithe. That means, you know, we gave 10% of what we made to God's work. And while there are few people who do give substantially, most people in our church are in the lower percentile of giving. And if that trajectory were to continue and just a few big givers were to drop off, we could not sustain the work here. Preparing the next generation involves the teaching solid concepts of giving. Because few people have carried the load for a long time and it's just not sustainable. But that's not what I want to talk about today. This is not a talk on giving. But it is a component, right? We have the area of relationships, where people in the body of Christ grow in love toward one another. I think we do that really well here. Where there is peace in the community of faith. And not just peace that comes with avoidance, peace that comes just because we don't talk about anything serious, because we do. But through communication and forgiveness and to have a gracious disposition towards another person. I really love that about our faith community here. And our kids need to develop relationships in this church where they are encouraged to grow in their faith and do it in the company of others who want to be on that same path. Then finally, to instill a sense of ownership, where the church isn't just this place that you simply attend, but it's a place that you take ownership of, where we take responsibility together of what happens, sharing vision and sharing each other's burdens, giving input when input is asked for, you know, like even this summer. Like, give us topics that you want us to talk about, things that are important to you, because if they're important to you, they're probably important to somebody else. We want to hear from you on those kind of things, where we don't just pass the buck and hope somebody else will do something about it. We read that part earlier in Galatians. When a person plants, they will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. We don't want that. But the one who plants in response to God harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop, and if we don't give up. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. Whatever a church sows, that's what it's going to reap. And we want to be about putting good seed in the ground, We don't want to sow selfish seeds of dissension and division. There's way too much of that happening out there. Those are the kind of things the enemy comes in and tries to sow. They're not the kind of things that we want to reap in the future. See, in many ways, we are the future of what those in the past dreamt of and worked for. We are sitting on their work. And I think of denominations like ours, like after 13 years, I still feel like really new to the Presbyterian Church because it's been around for like forever. In comparison to those who've served for 50, 60, 70 years, like I'm like a toddler here. And I'm so grateful for the past and present work of people like Gail Stevenson, like George Comrie, who's here today, who served for a long time in many areas of this church, who give of their time so graciously and generously. We are here today because of the selfless and bold manner in which members of this church have contributed and have conducted themselves. Our vision statement says that we are here to create an environment where people can discover, know, and share the love of God. The environment we create in this place and in people's hearts is so important. We've been blessed with this beautiful building, a space for our family to grow. The windows in this worship space serve as a reminder of the people who cared and wanted to plant seeds that would outlive them. At the same time, adding art and beauty to the space. Some of our people purchased some of the trees that are outside, that are planted on the property to beautify the landscape. Aesthetics are important. And I'm so glad that we have people in this congregation who thought beyond themselves to future generations. We've had some pretty generous gifts given to the church for the building. Every once in a while, we get a sizable gift towards the mortgage of the building. And we're getting closer and closer to being in a debt-free worship facility, which is amazing. And we just need a few more people to act in faith to make that happen. You know, people contribute to conservatories and concert halls all the time, right? Museum and art galleries. They want to leave their fingerprint. They want to leave their imprint on something. They want to help create beauty and share beauty in their part of the world. Their love for things that matter to them. And they want it to be infectious, so they give. The kingdom of God should have people who want to share the beauty of Christ with others. Augustine said, "Faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you believe." I love the way he turned that around. And we need people who will step out in faith believing that God is going to continue to do great things in this place. Because like Hebrews says, without faith it is impossible to please God. We can't just do it on our own. We can't do it on our own whims. We need to do it with full faith in God. God wants us to live and operate on the premise of faith. Some moves we make will be intuitive. Others are going to need a lot of faith backed by prayer. And so you know that we have a few people in this church who gather faithfully every Sunday. And some of them are here today, and I appreciate them so much. They meet at about 10 o'clock in that back room and just pray for the church and the service and the needs that they're made aware of. In your bulletin, it actually says, you know, we believe that nothing really happens without prayer. And that's true. Our desire is to raise up the next elders and children's workers and teachers and worship leaders. You know, who's going to say, like, I want to plant something from which another budding youth leader may emerge? I want to sow the seeds that see, you know, many men and women sprout up with the ability to communicate the good news of Christ. We need to be in prayer over these things here. God may not keep you in this particular congregation for your whole life. I'm aware of that. I've seen a lot of change over the past few years. We have so many choices in where to live and where to worship and so on. Although we hope you're here for a good long time. And if anyone's visiting today, we'd love for you to consider this as a possibility for your home church. To find ways to help us create that environment. But while you're here, will you sow the seeds that need to be sown? These are principles that followers of Jesus take with them wherever they go, right? You're never off the hook. Whether you're here or whether you're in another church, you are to help the faith community make a difference. You are there to leave your fingerprint. We want to live in a way that impacts the lives of people forever, to invest our lives in things that have eternal significance. And that means determining what kind of seeds you're going to plant in your own life. Maybe the seeds of the faith community was never planted in you. I know a lot of people, like I grew up with that, but a lot of people didn't. Maybe this is one of your first experiences of really being part of a local church, and you go like, it's all kind of new to me. And a lot of people just take it for granted that because there's a church here today, that there will be one here tomorrow. Again, we showed you the downtown churches that just kind of are high-end condos now. Whatever a person sows, they reap. If you sow generously, you reap generously. If you don't sow, you don't reap, right? If you don't invest in the future, don't expect one. It's about looking ahead and envisioning who is going to be sitting in these seats 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Who's going to be serving in leadership, taking ownership in ministry, building relationships in the church and in the community? Because we want people to know about the love of God. And are we creating that environment? Are we creating that space within which the seed has a chance to take root? Sometimes churches are like greenhouses where plants have this chance to start out and grow and get strong. And then they're able to get out into the community where they're already strong, into environments that aren't as friendly. We need to be a place where people can deepen their relationship with Christ. Because like the parable Jesus said, there is a world out there that is ready to choke and burn and stomp on that seed of faith's ability to grow. We want to create a favorable environment of growth to happen. And I think that's part of the inheritance that we leave. For somebody to say, I know that when I go to that church, I learn about Christ. When I go to that church, my faith is deepened in Christ. We don't want to be a church that's based on agendas or anything like that. We want to lead people to saving faith in Christ. And our hope is that the next generation will take it even further, to take it to another level with God's help. And we can make it possible where, you know, our ceiling becomes their floor, like they just keep building on top of what we've done. There's so much development that has happened around us in the past 5 years. And if we believe we've been called to this location for any reason, then we need to work to discover ways that we can connect and invest ourselves in this community with our time and our resources and our prayer and engagement. And I know I can't do it alone. Session can't do it alone. We need people who will help and take on different ministries, who will come up with, you know, even outrageous ideas that we might say, come on, that's not possible. But maybe that's the kind of idea it'll take to help us, you know, reshape our missions efforts, to help us, you know, in the technical area of our church, to help us maintain our website to get news out there, to help build bridges and networks with those outside the church. The list is long. But here's the great part. When you say, God, I want to help resource your kingdom. I want to build and prepare for the future. God will resource you to do it. Because you are not the source of the resource. You are a conduit. You understand that? When it comes to God's work, you are not the source of it. You are what God uses to make it happen. So I'm glad that my dad, my parents, planted the desire for me to love and serve the local church. Many have come along the way to nurture that desire, and I've also had a lot of people in my life that have kind of thrown thorns at it and tried to choke that desire in me. I'm glad they haven't been successful. But I'm aware of this. While people will sometimes fail us, God will never fail us. God will never fail us. Because in the end, God is more interested in our future than we could ever imagine. Somehow, in some way, God will see that the faith community moves forward. And I just think it would be cool to be a part of that. So, even though it's August 25th, and even though there are a few people missing, a lot of people missing today. We're recording this message, and I'm going to make sure that everybody in our church hears it, because I think it's important enough. And I want you guys next week and the week after to say, if you didn't hear that message, get online and hear it, because we all need to be a part of it. I want you to take ownership of it. And I hope that those of us who are here today, those who hear it online, will accept that invitation to join in the vision and to work and plant and to prepare for what's coming ahead. Amen? All right.